No doubt you've heard the startling New Year's Eve news about the thousands of red-winged blackbirds that suddenly dropped dead from the sky late in the night. Bizarre enough that they were out flying so late, but to have so many die concurrently, that makes us worry once again about our environment. The jury is still out on what may have caused their demise, but perhaps this will help us all focus on caring more for our fragile planet. I'm Wendy Dahlia from the Richardson Bay Audubon Center and Sanctuary in Tiburon with a brief look into birds and nature in and around San Francisco Bay. This week, the red-winged blackbird. This is Bay Birds. Red-winged blackbirds are one of the most abundant birds across North America. And for me, the summer marshes wouldn't feel right without their song. If you've ever spent any time near a fresh or saltwater marsh, you've probably seen and heard several of these birds. The males are hard to miss with their sleek black bodies and scarlet and yellow shoulder patches, and they are most often spied perched atop cattails or other tall marsh grasses, in shrubs or small trees along wetlands and wet roadsides, or even atop telephone wires. Males tend to be quite showy, doing everything they can to bring attention to themselves, including singing their loud song throughout the day. Why try so hard? Well, much like elephant seals, male red-winged blackbirds set up broad territories to attract numerous females with whom to mate. In some cases, males may have up to 15 mates within their territory. Seems like that would make him quite the breeder, but alas, the defending male may not be quite as successful as he thinks. Some studies have shown that anywhere from a quarter to half the nestlings in a territory are parented by a different male. That issue aside, make no mistake that if a red-winged blackbird feels that you are infringing on his territory, he may even go after you. Females are a bit harder to spot. They are well camouflaged with their dark brown streaked plumage, almost like an overgrown sparrow. And they tend to remain lower in the vegetation so they can easily go undetected as they search through the vegetation for food or weave their remarkable nests. Females build nests by weaving together everything from wet leaves, decayed wood, cattail leaves, dry grasses, or bark. They use mud to plaster everything together and then add dry grasses to line the inside. One nest, picked apart by a naturalist in the 1930s, had been made by weaving together 34 strips of willow bark and 142 cattail leaves, some as long as 2 feet. Rather remarkable when you consider this was all done without the aid of opposable thumbs. Now is not the best time for trying to view red-winged blackbirds, since they aren't breeding and many have migrated inland to agricultural fields, pastures, and grasslands, where seeds tend to be more abundant. But spring isn't all that far off, and if you're lucky, and listen carefully, you may even be able to spy a female this time of year in a marsh near you. And if you are lucky enough to see one, or even just hear a red-winged blackbird, take a moment to appreciate its presence and be thankful it is still alive and well to grace us with its song. That's it for this week's edition of Bay Birds, a production of Radio Sausalito and Audubon, California. Podcasts of this and each of our programs can be downloaded free from radiosausalito.org and from iTunes Music Store. For more information about our programs at the Richardson Bay Audubon Center and Sanctuary, located in nearby Tiburon, visit us on the web at richardsonbay.audubon.org. This is Wendy Dahlia from the Richardson Bay Audubon Center and Sanctuary. Until next time, get out and enjoy the birds in and around our fantastic bay.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.